welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of The New You, Emerging into the Brilliance of Humanity's Heart Consciousness, and myself, Suzanne Maresca. This week, we're happy to welcome Commander Ashira back to the show. He's very graciously agreed to offer us some insight about galactic life, and it's an honor to be able to meet with the Commander of the Unified Forces of the Outer Galaxies once again. Feel free to join us with your questions and comments by calling 323-784-9697 and press 1 so I know you'd like to come on the air with us. We'll continue taking callers by area code, so when we're ready to start doing that, I'll say your area code and bring you on the air. I could honestly spend many days having conversations on all manner of things with Ashira, and this second installment is most welcome indeed. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Susie, and good morning, everybody. Yes, I think that we're certainly talking about one of my favorite subjects, which is what life is like with our star brothers and sisters, our star families, and what that looks and feels and tastes and smells like. And particularly, you know, I think that we're talking with Ashira, with Commander Ashira, but I think that many of the insights that are shared with us are pretty true on most of the ships. I don't think that there's a real significant, you know, there's difference. I mean, there's always some slight differences, and particularly in terms of size and what's available, but by and large, it's pretty much the same.
People are very hungry for contact with the Galactics. I've had so many people write in with questions and just really wanting to know things and to have the connection. And, you know, of course, you know, some people would like me to grill the commander for information, and it's not about that. It's more about a heart connection, which, you know, so many of us long for, and it's wonderful to just use the show to be able to begin that.
Yes, I agree. And anybody who thinks that they can grill the commander had better rethink that. Oh, boy, I've tried. Don't even go there.
Have you?
From time to time, yes, I have.
Oh, my.
And it's funny because you know that I visit the Neptune. I think all of our listeners know that I go back and forth, as it were. But I've certainly been feeling this, I guess, desire is the closest word to when I show up, is to go up on what we would think of as the flight deck or the, you know, the command center. And it's not that I'm not allowed there, that I'm sort of welcome. You know, I'm definitely a visitor. When I go to the Neptune, I tend to go home to my own quarters or to, it's my R&R time. But it's funny, in the last couple of weeks, when I sort of bilocate or beam myself up, as it were, I've really been drawn to show up on the flight deck in the command center, because I just want to know what's going on. You know, I want to see what's going on. And I bet you most of our listeners really want to know what's going on.
Exactly.
And
if I could, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just want to ask you a question about, you know, the bilocation situation. So you have quarters up there. Do you have an aspect on the ship that you go and merge with, or how does that work?
No, it's me.
Okay. All right. So there's just a place for you, and you hang out there at night, and
I guess in terms of how the practicality of it, you would think of Linda, and I don't always go by the same name on ship, but I'm certainly Linda, And I would bilocate to the ship at night. I basically, if I need to be present in my house on Earth in the middle of the night, I certainly am and can be. But I guess it's a meld. But if you were to look at me,
mm-hmm.
I probably look a little younger, a little thinner. But I look like me. No,
yeah.
I look like me, yeah. And so do many of the friends and family, you know, that I see on board ship.
Right.
So I have a funny story that I was thinking of this morning. I have a dear friend, which you also have a dear friend, so we can both say hello to Andrew, who helps us with our transcripts.
Yeah.
Who asked me, I guess we were talking a couple of weeks ago about the Neptune, and he asked me about the size. And I said, I think it's, you know, about 8 miles long. And so the other night I'm home, and Ashira says to me, because I went on deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says to me, so what did you do with the other 20?
Oh.
And I said, what? What are you talking about? And he says, yeah, you know, the other 20 miles of the ship.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I was corrected. We're talking about 28 miles long. But you see, a lot of that outer perimeter is where, like, it's a space port, like a landing, you know, where ships are stored, where things are happening, some gardens and stuff and storage. So I don't tend to think of that necessarily as, you know, part of the ship. But I needed to share that with our friends because, you know, you talked to me about size and how wide, how long. I obviously really miscalculated in that case.
Wow.
So I thought we'd get a kick out of that. But that's the kind of dry humor. You know, everybody got a chuckle out of it. But their humor is never cutting. It's never demeaning. There is such a level of respect and an honoring of not only individual, but individual differences as well,
mm-hmm.
that it's a delight to be there.
Yeah.
And I know that many of you are already there. You just don't remember it, because if you did, you might be tempted not to come home.
Well, that's it, and I've wondered that too. Like, are we, what the various purposes are for us not remembering what we do at night and who we actually are. I mean, I guess that has to come in bits by bits, or it would blow our minds or something, but I'm feeling pretty ready. I want to know.
Yeah. Well, if you really want to know, it will come. I truly, and I don't think I necessarily would have said that, you know, a couple of years ago. But I think if that's an area of your life that you're wanting to explore, and of course not everybody is on board ship or a star being.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. They tell us that all of us are star seeds, but I'm just wondering if there's a split between humanity and the, is there any such thing as a plain old human?
They're, you know, what they call earth keepers.
Yeah.
Excuse me, you're hearing Florida allergies. Earth keepers, which are what I have seen or would term as 100% human,
mm-hmm.
are really rare.
Okay.
You know, there's been so much cross-fertilization,
right.
of civilizations, of races, that someone who's 100% human, Earth Keeper is actually a rarity. And you can tell, usually you can tell, and those are people who are really grounded. Mm-hmm. Often they're green or the earth colors, the earth tones.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely, but occasionally brown, which is a very unusual color in terms of soul rays, which we've talked about. And they are the folks that are, it's not that they're antisocial, it's just their focus and their first and deepest love is for Gaia, is for the planet.
All right. Wow. Okay. Well, by that definition, I used to think I might have been an earth keeper, but I know I'm not now then. I love Gaia.
Yeah.
Thing.
We love Gaia, and don't forget, about, I want to say about 15 years ago, there was a switch, too, in the keepers of the Council Fire of Gaia. And if we think of the Council Fire as being the heart, the center, the hearth of Mother Earth, that used to be tended by Earth, primarily by Earth Keepers. They're correcting me as we go. by Earth Keepers. And at the time when Earth, the planet, was initiated into the Intergalactic Council, there was also a turnover in terms of who those keepers of the hearth or the heart of Gaia, the Council Fire, are. So now if you're down there and you look around, you'll see there's all kinds of intergalactics.
Mm.
So to feel that you're a galactic or a starseed or an intergalactic, but you also have this profound love of Earth, which I do, and I know you do, Susie.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of this shift as well, because Earth really has been brought into this planetary community,
mm-hmm.
which is fabulous.
Oh yeah.
Now we tend to think of those roles and those positions as stagnant, that once they're established, they never change. But, of course, that's not true. There's very little, you know, on Gaia or within our universe that's stagnant. And things are always changing and moving.
Yes, we are a dynamic civilization and planet.
We are.
Yes.
I think we're more dynamic than we give ourselves credit for, actually.
Well, maybe part of the conditioning of humanity has been that we resist change, and that's one thing I can say about myself is that I really love change. But on the whole, I think we have fear about change. You know, even if our current circumstances are less than optimum, you know, there's even an expression about it: "The devil you know." The devil you
that's
know.
Right.
It's better to suffer and know what you're suffering through than step into the unknown. But, you know, I would love to see humanity step into the unknown and embrace that it's going to be okay.
That it's going to be okay, and that really the only constant, that's the Chinese proverb, the only constant is change. I mean, every time we take a deep breath in or a breath out,
mm-hmm.
our body just changed.
Right.
And the air around us, all the molecules around us just changed.
So it's kind of an illusion that we cling to, that things aren't changing.
It is an illusion, and I think it was an illusion that was really entrenched in terms of control that came out of the old third dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And even while we're thinking that we don't really welcome change, and I think that that's a prevalent a trait amongst us humans, mm-hmm. or starseeds, or hybrids. But, you know, in the other hand, we're saying, oh, just like in the good old days. Yeah. Well, in fact, the good old days weren't that great. You know?
Exactly.
We should start doing something new, like the future good old days.
You know what that reminds me of? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go
for it. It just reminds
me
that my dad, he's almost 90 years old now and kind of losing his mind, but, you know, he looked back at his days as a CB in the construction battalion of the Navy, okay, in World War II. He looked back at that as, like, the best time of his life and didn't really want to look at the, you know, the negative aspects of it. And I think that the part that was most engaging for him is that he felt the brotherhood with his fellows, okay? And I think that's one of the things that we will call good old days, is that we had community.
Yes, and I think that's exactly what we're building right now here on Earth. You know, I mean, that was one of the themes that Jesus Ananda talked to us about for this year, was change and recovery and rediscovery and unity. Right. And unity is the connection to community. So I think we're actually in a process of creating, a very real process of creating what it means to be in community again.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that sense of community, whether it's your, you know, your little neighborhood or the globe, has changed.
Yes.
And Archangel Gabriel, on an hour with an angel, was very vehement that we start thinking of ourselves as planetary citizens, as global mm-hmm. citizens, not as simply, you know, nation states or belonging to this group or that group or even light workers or love holders, that we are part of a bigger community. And I think we're building that. I think that's the biggest piece of building Nova Earth. And I think that's what our star brothers and sisters are not only waiting for, but really assisting us with.
Yes, and longing for as much as we are longing for it. And to be, you know, it's a feeling of tribe to me in my heart, you know.
Yep.
I want my tribe.
Yeah, I want my peeps.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. All right, so I'm sure you have a wonderful meditation, and maybe similar to our last one where you did the Halion and the connection with our galactic friends.
Yes, in fact, I think that's what we're going to do.
Perfect.
So everybody relax and feel yourself sink into your chair, into the bed, into the carpet, into the floor, into your car seat, wherever you are. Bring down your shoulders. Relax your jaw. Feel like you're getting heavier into your seat, into your chair, as you allow your body to truly relax and let go. And one of the reasons we're doing this is so that you can spiral out and go and visit on your favorite starship. So anchor in your heart. Deep breath in, and on the out breath, feel yourself sinking into your heart. Deeper and deeper, and feel the brilliance of your tri-flame, of the gold diamond and the pink diamond, and the blue diamond of the masculine and the feminine and your incredible sweet self. And feel those burning brightly. And then just drop down ever so slightly to that apex, the bottom of your rib cage, before you hit your solar plexus. And this is the wonderful color, the ray of Halion. And Halion is that beautiful mint green and electro blue, some deep French ashen blue, and throw in a little mauve just for the fun of it. Put your hand on this spot, on this chakra. And even rub it a little to wake it up. And feel this chakra, which is your bridge to your star brothers and sisters, to your star heritage, to your interplanetary self, because you may not live on board ship, but make no mistake about it, all of us have interplanetary, intergalactic heritage. Feel this spiral, this glorious spiral, emanating out from the base of your ribs, the mint, the electric blue, the French blue, spiraling out up through your ceiling, up through the ceiling, the dome of the blue sky. Keep going. Up. Up to where the stars are. Into deep space. Let yourself go. And leave yourself in your chair, safe and secure. You'll be back in a while. Fly up that spiral. And as you do, as you see the heavens open above you, you also see thousands of ships of every size, the mother ships, the explorer ships, the science ships, the exploration ships. Take a moment and see which one beckons to you, either telepathically or simply by blinking a light. And let yourself float further to the landing dock. You can hear the whir of the ship. And feel the doors open. And your friends, your family, your colleagues, not stiffly or formally embracing you, but like family. Feel them grasp your arm, your shoulder. Maybe they're hugging you. Go inside. and go wherever you want, knowing that you can come back down your Halion spiral into your body whenever you choose, and rest and breathe and allow and have fun. Greetings. I am Ashira.
Welcome.
And welcome to you, dear Suzanne. I am Ashira, Ashira of Neptune. For that is often how we will identify ourselves. I am Commander of the unified forces of the outer galaxies. And once again, it is my honor, my pleasure, to be your guest this day. You know, as much as each of you, my beloved friends and family, as much as you yearn to be, to know, what is your parlance, to hang out with us, so it is for us. There is not one being on board any of the various fleets that has not come, volunteered, traveled, that is not present because of you. Because of each of you, individually and collectively. And yes, of course, our work is with the collective and with Gaia. But our interest is in you, as family, as friends, as potential friends, as colleagues. There is no one aboard that has said, well, I will go and I will serve and I will complete my mission and purpose, but I will not interface with the human beings, and I will not visit Earth. Oh, no. That is simply not the case. You live on one of the most diverse and beautiful, luscious planets in the galaxy. There is such diverse beauty. There is so much to see and enjoy. And now we are talking nature, but I am also talking people. You are a delightful mix. So we can't wait either. And as you well know, many of us haven't waited. And we visit your planet, and we visit many of you, far more than you think. We know, and we welcome, by the way, your curiosity about us. And we will discuss your questions, but do not think for a moment that the curiosity, the excitement, the desire to engage and to truly form community. This anticipation we have held, well, for far too long. So, yes. And perhaps it is not merely that you have emanated from the stars, so many of you. And yes, for some of you, it is that you are bilocated or you have aspects upon the various ships. And there is a difference between bilocation and aspects. Let us be clear about that. But one of the things that we feel you are the closest to us. And it is not that we do not have meaningful, wonderful, warm relationships with one another. Professional, communal, collegial. But in terms of who do we see that we wish to reach out to, not merely to help, but because we are alike. Are we of a different dimension, what you often think of? Higher dimension, yes, but you are most of the way to becoming your trans-dimensional selves anyway. And so when we look at you, when we speak to you, and you express this desire to be with us, we feel that it is because we are the closest to you. Now, are there many beings of all shapes, sizes, dimensional realities further out, either in this galaxy or from where I have come from beyond this galaxy? Yes. But we are right at hand. And we are humanoid. Well, we tend to be primarily humanoid. We also can shapeshift a great deal. So we appear humanoid to you. So the similarity, the potential for meaningful relationships and friendships is there. Do you love, as we do, the angels and the archangels, the
yes.
masters, the ascended ones? So do we. We absolutely do. And while we recognize your angelic self within or around your human self, we still feel it's a, can we say, a shorter reach for you to be with us than to be with the archangels, particularly seeing the mother's entire plan entails staying in form. Now, we've seen your wings. Yes, you, Suzanne, and many of you. But we also know the intention and the plan is for you to maintain, and you are doing a good job, many of you, in maintaining your physical reality. And you are recovering and you are rediscovering. I could go on. One of the things that we do and that Linda is spying on us on board ship is that we are wanting to see how the penetration not only of the collective but of the individual heart and person, How are you proceeding, not only with the mother's remarkable gifts, but with the bath of pink that we are sending to your planet and to Gaia herself at this time? We are also closely monitoring our communications projects as well. Now that, is, of course, is in addition to the day-to-day operation of a fleet. Mm-hmm. So, dear heart Suzanne, where do you wish to begin today?
Okay, Selective A, Ashira, thank you for joining us again today. It's such an honor and a pleasure to have this kind of conversation, and I'm sure that we could have many, many such ones, and I would look forward to it. I hesitate to ask this next question to take much time for it at all. I'd like to get it out of the way, if I may. I'm sure you're well aware how acutely many humans are seeking information about the missing Malaysia Airlines flight. Can you offer any insight on where it may be and if it's maintained its integrity? And then we could just move on because...
This particular situation of the Malaysian aircraft, and more importantly of everybody upon it, is functioning at many levels. First of all, let us be clear, this is not one of our operations.
Okay.
We do not operate in a way that would cause such pain and suffering. And our hearts and our healing goes out not merely to the friends and family of those involved in this mystery, but to everybody. And this is one of the interesting aspects of this situation, is that it is awakening so many of you to what is truly going on and what is possible.
Okay.
But it is also acting as a catalyst for compassion, a catalyst for global awareness. Now, who would have thought that Malaysia, or a craft out of Malaysia, would be the catalyst for a global awakening? And yet it is. We are not holding out hope, false hope, for a happy resolution to this situation. But this is something that the human beings, through their own acts, wills, and deviations, have contrived. So we are observing, we are helping, but we will not interfere in your process of discovery because it is important. It is acting as a catalyst for many.
Okay. I understand. Thank you for speaking to that. Okay, now on to the juicy stuff. You mentioned that you don't need to sleep. Would you say more about that and how you might refresh and rejuvenate? And do you experience fatigue, illness, or hunger?
Well, that is quite a question.
I have lots of them.
And I will be delighted to answer them all.
Wonderful.
We rest, so do not be under the impression that we are workaholics or that we have a tendency. Now, of course, when there are certain operations underway or when we are all on high alert, which has happened a great deal in the last year, there is a situation where we tend to put in what you would think of as longer hours of work, of being focused and present upon our work. We have the ability, you have the expression of cat naps, of power naps, and we put ourselves into a very relaxed, what, theta, or even REM sleep, but it can be very, very, very brief. So our form of rejuvenation and relaxation is different than humans. So it is not to say that we do not take time for rest. We do. Because that is also when we receive a great deal of our inspiration, our insights. If you were to think of very deep meditation, that is one of our forms of sleep or rest. But there is so much to think about, to create, to share. So sleep does not have, as you define it, does not have a priority. So even, for example, when we are in our quarters, our what you would think of as an apartment, I guess, with our families or our beloved ones, we may relax, we may lie down, we may lounge, but sleep is not a necessary factor.
Okay.
Very often, simply by relaxing and gazing out at the stars, we receive energy. We have become, and this is something that we will teach and share with many of you, we have become very proficient at allowing the replenishment of our energy fields, not merely what you would think of as physical structure, but our entire field, simply to come into us and refresh us on the deepest level. So sleep is not a real requirement. Similarly with food or what you say, hunger. Now, that does not mean that we do not feel at moments that we need. When you think food, you think I have to eat because I'm hungry or I feel weak or lightheaded or it is a social custom. Well, it is a social custom for us.
Oh.
But when we feel depleted in any way, again, we will simply draw in the energy that we require and replenish ourselves that way. Because you aren't always in a position to, nor would you wish to, create an eating situation. For us, yes, we do eat, but it is a form of entertainment. It is a sensation. It is a delight. It is a way in which we will take in a meal much the same way as you would take in a movie.
Wonderful.
So there are supplies and growth and food that is grown in our gardens, but there is also molecular constructs. And then there are also things that are imported, well, your word, from elsewhere. So there is the experience. There are gathering places. Again, for us, community is very important. Now think about your freedom on Earth, which is one of the reasons why sometimes we are surprised that you are also anxious to come to ship, because let's face it, it's our home, it's organic, it can morph into many shapes, sizes, and realms, but it is fixed. It is a contained environment. So when we look at Gaia, yes, it is a contained environment, but it is so much bigger and diverse. But I digress. For us, because of this contained environment and the lessons we have learned through our evolution, not merely the wars, but societal evolution, intergalactic evolution. And even though there is much what you can think of as socializing and visiting amongst the fleets and in between the ships, it is still a contained environment. Right. And there is the recognition for the need of privacy. That is why people have either couples or families have units or private units, quarters, living quarters,
right,
because privacy and alone time is valued. But there is great emphasis on meeting places.
Right.
So we have, well, you could call it a cafeteria, which would be a more selective, you can go and have a drink or various drinks that we enjoy. Yes, you can get coffee and tea. But then we have more formal settings. We have gathering rooms. We have meditation rooms. We have social rooms. So there is a great availability and emphasis on where people can go to relax and be in community, because that sense of being an integral part of community. Small towns or villages on Gaia used to have their meeting places, whether it was at the synagogue or at the well. And there's so much of that on Earth has been lost. But for us, it is very, very important. So part of that is, yes, we can go and we can eat, or we can go and not eat. It isn't considered a must. We have noticed that if on Earth, if you say to a friend, let us go out for supper, and one of you chooses not to order anything, it is almost an affront. It is curious. That would not be the case with us.
Okay. All right.
We do not get sick.
Oh, excellent.
When there is a great emphasis on what you would think of as replenishment and rejuvenation, if we get run down, if we are tired, we can go to the healing chambers. But it is mostly for rejuvenation. It is not because we have the same list of diseases or maladies that you have. Now, what one of the things that we are finding, which has been a little setback for us, is that we are finding that those who are on prolonged assignment on Gaia are in need of the crystal healing beds, of the healing chambers, because the density of the energy on the planet depletes people. You have noticed that yourself. That, of course, is where your diseases come from. But more and more, what our healing chambers are being used for is the humans.
The what?
The humans.
Oh.
Yes, many of you are being transported and worked on day and night. So this is part of what our mission is also, yes, you are eliminating the false grids and belief systems that contribute to disease. But for those of you who are disease-ridden and that it is already present in your bones, in your joints, in your lungs, in your hearts, etc., we are often working on you. Unbeknownst to you, it does not matter. So that this new realm of what the mother calls recovery can actually be a fact.
Okay. And that brings me to ask that I've heard that galactics are our future selves, like future humans, and I'm wondering if we can look forward to things like eating when we feel like it rather than because we have to in our lifetimes, like when you guys are able to be here with us on Earth, will that trigger a change in our physiology?
Well, of course, because there will be interbreeding, and we will talk about that as well, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
But what is primarily changing your molecular structure, as you know, you are transferring to a crystalline structure, but it is more your vibration and frequency and the interdimensional shift of Gaia and everyone upon it that is truly contributing to this shift in the pattern of eating. Now, even currently, for many human beings, particularly in the Western world, is that eating is habitual
rather
than necessary. And it is also social and communal rather than survival. So, yes, you are going to find that your eating patterns, your consumption patterns of all kinds of things are changing dramatically. Now, it is the same where our effect comes in. It is the same as if you are with a partner or in a family that tends not to eat or to eat for maintenance and survival, then you are in a better position for this transfer because the pattern isn't there. This belief system that you need the amount of substance that you think you do is not true.
Okay. All right. Are there animals on ships? Well, you have gardens, and are there physical features like on Earth? Like mountains?
Yes. Well, not mountains. We can't quite manage the mountains.
Yeah.
But we do have what you would experience holographic. But then again, very often, if we wish to experience mountains, then we would come and visit.
Oh, okay.
But we do have holographic forms of entertainment where we can basically be on the top of a mountain or at the bottom of the ocean. So, dear Susie, you could come and swim with your whales.
Oh, yay. So the holodeck in Star Trek was not really far from the truth.
Oh, no, that entire program was channeled.
Awesome.
It was a forerunner to get people ready to have these concepts. But, yes, we have animals.
Okay.
We have, well, we don't particularly have a differentiation between what you would think of as domestic animals or wild animals. Now, understand, we do not eat animals.
Mm-hmm.
When someone is on board ship or wishes to have meat, if someone was to come and want to have a steak, it would be a molecular construct.
Right.
It would look, taste, feel the same, but it would not entail the killing of an animal. So we have parks. Now, they are not as grand or as large as some of your national parks, but we have parks. We have places where people will go with their animals to play. And, of course, the communication with the animals is more clear than what you currently experience. And then there are animals within these, what you think of as parks or wildlife areas, where there are simply free-roaming animals.
Mm.
It is given to the experience that is necessary in such a confined environment so that people know, that our crew know, that they have the ability to remember home.
Mm. Okay, so that brings me to a question. You live your life on ships all the time. Linda has said that you are Hessian, and I would like to know what that means. And when you say home, clearly unified forces of the outer galaxies, you have to be from all over the place. Would that be accurate?
Yes, that is accurate. And yes, we are, for a particular, my lineage is Hessian. The closest thing that you can think of is there is a tendency, particularly more in some than others, towards cat-like feline features.
Mm-hmm.
You might even think, dear Susie, Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
And so our features are humanoid, but they come from a different lineage. The Hessians particularly are from two planets called CCC and Ceres, and they are not in your galaxy. So, yes, there are many different types of human forms, and some that are not human forms, which are delightful as well.
Mm.
Just as we have animals that are not known on Earth.
Right. All right. If we could move on to this interesting subject of procreation and sacred partnership. I've discovered for myself that human sexuality is a most powerful avenue to connect with the divine, both within and without. Is it the same for you? And is that an uncommon gift throughout creation?
It is not an uncommon gift.
Okay.
It is a wonderful gift.
Indeed.
Your question is, and this has come up in several different ways, is whether we procreate. And we do. We have children, and we also in our population have what you would think of as we would call mature, you might think of as elderly, but we do not have the same aging process that you have. So it is not that people look old, but there comes a time when people decide, for one reason or another, that they wish to have elongated breaks or to bring their attention to something else rather than simply their shipboard duties. And that is certainly accommodated. When we procreate, it is through conjoining. And I am not trying to be prudish here, because many of you think, well, how do they do it? Do you think I do not know? Let us say that we have the equipment, but to truly have, and you have touched upon it, sacred union.
Yes.
Is a meeting of the souls.
Yes, yes.
And this is what you are truly beginning to experience in your own evolution on Earth. Before, you used to think, I do not mean you, sweet one, but you collectively often felt that Tantra was the highest form of prolonged union or heightened ecstasy and union. Take it 22 steps further. It is a union of the heart, the mind, the body, and the soul. And when you are in that form of union, not only is it profound joy, it can sustain you for thousands of years.
Oh.
When you join with another like this, and that is what we do, the bond very rarely can or would be severed. Now, that does not mean that we do not acknowledge that people, individuals, will go off and have assignments and missions and things that they must attend to. But the bond, the love, the union does not break. It is not a whim, and it is not a one-time occurrence, because we also come together again and again and again and again, and each time the sacred union is strengthened. It is completely by choice. And yet in so many ways, when it is done and in place, it is so beyond choice.
Mm.
It is merely the way of the universe of love.
Mm-hmm.
When we choose to procreate, it is in a way that we have talked about, or Archangel Michael has spoken of in other discussions, and that is that it is a discussion between the souls, the twin flames, what you may think of as your higher self, the physical bodies, as well as the soul and the intention of the child to be born. So it is a very much a group discussion, so that the bringing in of life is a conscious creation. Because of that, we don't have the whoops factor. So when a child is conceived and brought forward, it is not only a celebration in that family, it is considered a responsibility and a joy and an undertaking for the entire community.
Mm.
Because we are bringing this being into form to be part not only of the family, but of this very specific community. And there has already been agreement by the child, by the infant, by that soul, of how they will express, how they wish to be expressing, how they want to be supported, how they will be supported, how they will be taught, what they will explore, what this journey will be about.
Well, I have to say that that's missing from my life, and I haven't been able to provide for my daughter that community and the idea of it takes a village to raise a child. I'm very much looking forward to that aspect of reunion with you guys and how it's all going to change on Earth. And I appreciate this conversation because it makes it so much more normal and tangible to have contact with you, because we're really not so different.
No, we are not so different. And we understand your yearning for that sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
It is, from our perspective, not only limited, but truly a detriment that, if, for example, you as a mother would be expected or solely, well, mostly solely, responsible for the care, feeding, nurturing, education of your child.
Yeah.
It is. It does not, to us, it does not make sense.
It doesn't make sense to me either. Okay, so looking forward to those changes. Last week, you mentioned that we are the return of the creator race. Would you please speak to that in more detail? Are humans unique in that way, or are there a great many creator races, and why a return?
because you have chosen to return. Think of it as a cycle, mm-hmm. that Gaia, Earth, and actually much of this sector, has gone through a cycle. When the planet, when Gaia was birthed and assumed this form, which you are now just learning more about, but that is a whole other conversation. When you came, there was also the presence of what you would think of as the creator race. The angels, some archangels, Gaia didn't want to be left totally alone, in form, the purpose of which was to create the societies, the communities, and some of the finishing touches, Gaia. So think of it in this way, of you had this planet that was beautiful, brand new, lustrous, in formation, as if you had an empty apartment, and now you came in as the creators to decorate and to decide in your building, in your community, how were you going to live? What were you going to construct? What would be the methods of community? How would this creation go forward? Now, there have been experimentations with various forms of creation, as you well know, and not all of them have gone smoothly. But there was an original group called the Creator Race on Earth. And it wasn't as small as many of you are thinking. Was it billions? No. But it was significant. And if you were not one of the original creator race, this was not simply one generation. It was lengthy. So there were many generations of the creator race coming into form, either as starseed or angelics, into form to create what would be the experience of love, of joy, of community, of temperance on Earth. Now, if you think of it as the various ages that you are aware of, industrial, agro, even your information age, your electronic age, well, you are much, much older than you think. And this is a conversation, dear Suzanne, that you and I are going to have.
Good.
In the beginning, there was the creator race. And now, most of you, all at once, all together, yes, even what you think of as the dark cats and the cabal, have come back because you are the creator race. You have come full circle, and you have come back, and you said, now we're going to start again, and we're going to do it right.
Okay.
And we're here to help you.
I'm so grateful for that. Absolutely.
We don't want to control it, but we definitely, we can really help you.
Oh, it's very much appreciated. And Ashira, I could go on asking questions for a really long time. We've got 13 minutes left and some callers, so I would invite you to come back and have lots of discussions with us, if that would be all right with you.
I would be pleased and honored.
I'm so happy to hear that, because I have so much more that I want to ask. And I also don't want to hog up the whole thing because we do have callers. So,
I understand.
Yeah, okay. All right, so we'll go on to callers now, and I'll just contain myself a little bit. All right, we are on to area code 248. You're on the air. Are you with us? Hello? Hello, hello?
Yes, I am.
Oh.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi.
All right, good. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Jelena. Hello, everyone. I was looking at the movement that we have currently where there's more disclosure and so forth in many areas of our societies around the world. And I'm also looking at the same, as much as we have more openness, we also have more concerns for our privacy. And people are sharing more on social media, but at the same time, more is being monitored. And I wondered if you might speak to what we might see that we can do to feel that we are able as a society to start to respect people's privacy, but without the scientific overreach and technology that's kind of coordinating all of this.
Yes. Now you will remember that I have said that we acknowledge the need for individual quarters and for privacy. Privacy, what we have said alone time, extends far beyond simply that four walls or, well, we don't use those four walls, but nevertheless, that is what your expression would be. Privacy, in our definition, is your sacred space. Have you ever noted that there may be something on any given day or throughout your lifetime that you simply don't want disclosed or you don't want to discuss? We are aware that there is such an issue. We don't penetrate your field, go prodding and poking to know what that issue is. Might we be observant or intuit what it is? Yes. But we will never bring it up or invade that sacred space. Now you are talking about millions and millions of a Starfleet. And we have the most advanced technology you can imagine. Now, we support and love what you think of as social media. Because despite what those in control think they are doing, what you are doing is building community across oceans, across nations, across continents, and you are doing it in ways that can't be stopped, short of turning off the electronic signals, and we won't allow that. But one of our primary concerns is your privacy. So on our side, we are erecting what you can think of as privacy walls that are being infused into systems. So, firewalls would be your thought. So they are not as invasive as many who have designed them think, and in the future they will be even less so. This is part of our communications project. It is a sidebar under communications and our scientific community. Does that answer your question?
For the moment. I only would ask, and it's short amount of time. Is there something we can do at our personal level to, like, bring in the mother's cloak of invisibility or something to
yes.
add to our
put
own
up stuff? Your shields. Put up your mm-hmm. shields. Put up your cloak of invisibility. If you do not wish to see your information in any way penetrated or compromised, simply erect your titanium or zeranium shields. You do not have discovered zeranium yet on Earth, but we use it a lot. So, yes, the mother's cloak, your own seal, the shields, use it all. Basically, what you are doing when you do that, you are posting a no trespassing sign.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank
you. You are welcome.
Okay. We are on to area code 250. Are you with us?
Hello. This is Fern in BC. Wow. Thank you for everything. I have two questions. First, we talk about coming from the stars, being a star seed. How is it possible to know if we are a star seed? And the other one was about meditation. We say we have to move into your heart space. Well, how do we do that? Go deeper in this meditation work.
If you think you are a star seed, then it is very likely that you are. And if you are not, we will be happy to adopt you.
Thank you.
So we can claim you as one of ours if for some reason you are not. But there has been so much cross-fertilization. So many of you have lived everywhere. As we have said, you are the creator race, but you did not hang around Earth for the entire time, my dear friends. You are a planet of explorers. So as the channel Linda has said, there are actually very few of you that are only of Earth. When you wish to go down to your heart, and you are having trouble with this sensation, start to feel, yes, feel, how you love yourself. And if you do not love yourself, if you cannot pull up that feeling, then think of what you do love, who you love, or what you love. Perhaps it is your cat or dog. Perhaps it is your cousin. Perhaps it is your beloved or your parent, your child. Bring in that feeling and immerse yourself when all you are thinking about is how much you love that other. Then very simply, crack open the door and say to yourself, can I allow this to overflow to me? And let that love for you seep into you, into your skin, into your pores, into your heart.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome, dear friend.
Okay. I think we have time for one more. Area code 949. Are you with us?
Yes, yes. Good morning, Susie. Hi, Ashita.
Sure.
Two questions. One is, do you have any particular place that you like to visit here in California so we might be able to see the chips? And the second is, I don't know if you guys are aware about the chemtrails that are going on. These airplanes are spraying some kind of chemical to us. And if you are aware, are you guys doing something about it?
We most certainly are doing something about the chemtrails, and this is not merely an initiative of UFOG. It is an initiative that is undertaken by many of the fleets. So most of your chemtrails are completely being changed into different combinations that in fact will nurture the people and the earth. So we are aware of that. California, New Mexico, Minnesota, Michigan, New York, China, the outback of Australia. Do you really think, dear heart, there is anywhere that we do not love to visit? Because we do. Go to the places, and we know and we understand in California that there are many bright lights. Go to the high desert. We have made ourselves very clear in Joshua Tree. We will make ourselves very clear come this fall in Lake Tahoe. We tend to also spend time in San Diego off on the oceans. Go to the places where you can see the sky. Go to Northern California. Go to Mendocino. Go to the Redwoods.
Mm-hmm.
We are with you all the time.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for inviting us.
Beautiful. Okay. All right. So we're almost finished, and we'll be back next week. I have someone that wrote in and asked if the SETI programs are a waste of time and resources, as this listener, Kevin, feels that they've not gotten an answer to their attempts to communicate.
Do not assume that they have not received answers to their various forms of communication. That would be incorrect. Are those communications always shared? No.
Okay.
But we are communicating loud and clear.
All right, beautiful. I so appreciate you coming here, and I anticipate hopefully many more visits like this, and, grateful.
It is my honor, again, I say this, my beloved friends of Gaia, my family of human beings, look for us everywhere, not only in the sky, but in the supermarket. Go with our love.
Farewell. Thank you, Sarah.
You are welcome, and you are welcome on board anytime.